Alright, today I don't know what the title is, but you find out. I'll read for us. A survey, and the survey is done by the Arizona Christian University. It's done in 2022, and it's a survey. I make use of those research because I always tell your pastors, data is important in ministry. Data is like feedback, so you have to use data or data. I don't know which one, schedule. You have to use data a lot to know what to do. Whatever field you are in, you have to use data. If you're a politician, you need data. If you're a businessman, you need it. You need to know who buys what, where do they buy it. Same way in ministry. That's why you see that you find certain information provided in scripture. The whole of Jerusalem. You have some. You have Pharisees, hardened heart. You have, you know, so you have that information is meant to let you have an idea of how to deal with, you know, issues here and there. So I follow that. As a younger preacher, I'm still that young. I used to use Banner, but this is a bit different. Banner is spelled B-A-R-N-A. Banner does a lot of the information. They just do a check. There was one they did some time ago, and they interviewed the average American Christian. Of course, they focus a lot on the American church, so, and they try to ask them questions. And of course, it's random, but then it's widespread, and they discovered that out of 10 Christians, about 5 don't believe that Jesus is the only Savior. And so they found out why. Because there has been lesser doctrinal preaching. It's the danger that people eventually face. Lesser doctrinal preaching, motivational speaking was rife, entertainment. You know, it appeared like, you know, the emphasis now was just get people to be happy in the services. So they did that study. But I'll look at this one, and I'm just going to read to you. Interestingly, the director of research in Arizona Christian University is George Banner. So I was leading you here back. George Banner is a director, but this was done not by Banner Institute. It's done by the Arizona Christian University. Now, this is done in America. So they tried to interview many pastors to find out their philosophy about life and whether it reflects biblical principles. That was really the focus, to check. So they did this. They said, among all Christian pastors, to look at the pastors, and the survey is on pastors and biblical worldview. This is not our, I mean, I want to now take us back to scripture when we're done with this. And they said this is very interesting, that slightly one out of every three, which is 37% of pastors in America, possess a biblical worldview. A biblical worldview is this. You know, there are different worldviews. There is the worldview of a Yoruba man, for example, an Hausa man, an Igbo man, where the way, you know, they see things, and this is how I was brought up, etc. Then an American coming to Nigeria, Nigerian traveling abroad. So that's a worldview, how you see life. That's what worldview is. But there is the biblical worldview, which is how God's word sees the world. Now, some have advocated that that can change. It's actually ridiculous that it can change, almost tending to... And I know when I see a theism, I know how it starts. I know how it leads. First, one thing I know is that God made man, right, to look for him. So if man does not look for him, it looks for other things, consolation in science, knowledge, money, sex, marriage, relationships, drugs. You know, that's usually what camouflages, or they'll camouflage or flag on that desire. So a worldview is, you know, in spite of how people see things, how do you see? So I said there's a biblical, okay, I'll say that. So I know the traces of atheism. And interestingly, some of them can emanate from theology. That is why I thank God for people like Kenneth Hagin that said it earlier enough that a preacher, a pastor, must not be a specialist. Am I making sense here? Good. So let's see what George Barna says. He said, one out of every three possess a biblical worldview. That is shocking. He said, among senior pastors, 4 out of 10 have a biblical worldview. He says, the high incidence among any of the 5 pastoral offices position studied. Next highest was a 28% among associate pastors. Hey, it gets lower. Less than a half of many teaching pastors, 13%. And children and youth pastors, please pay attention to this one, 12%. Let me take it again. If you engage pastors in America today, and they went around the country, 41% have a biblical worldview. That is, they have framed their lives after the biblical worldview and also their sermons. He now said, associate pastors, 28%. So it's getting lower, right? Then you have those who are teaching pastors. Now, the way they say in America, maybe what you call, maybe our cell leaders today. He says they are 13%. Then, youth pastors, those who handle youths. And you could see it reflecting how they do it. They just do fun, entertainment. You know, the reason why they are convenient with things like that is their worldview. Is their worldview. And I know you know this, because if you step out today and you go to, and you're at your office, and if you listen to fellow Christians at work, and you see how they see Christianity, if you are impressionable, your life will be turned around. If you are impressionable. You know. And that's what he's saying here. Now, another group here, they call them the executive pastors. Now, as an American terminology, those who don't really preach and teach, churches have them. There was someone like that in this church who had another church before she got here. And she was a pastor in a church. And they retained her name there. She doesn't attend the place. But when they have board meeting, they call the person to executive pastor. 4%. Now, it says now that these pastors who do not have a biblical worldview are unlikely, okay, much like other Americans, they are unlikely to fully embrace a complete worldview, which means they will have secular humanism, Marxism, and others. In fact, less than 1% all pastors embody a worldview other than biblical theism. That means that there's somewhere in their mind they don't see one God over all the earth. Okay? Now listen to this. This is strange. It says their prevailing worldview is at best described as syncretism. You know syncretism, right? When you blend of ideas and application from a variety of holistic worldviews into a unique but inconsistent combination that represents their personal preferences. More than 6 out of 10 pastors have a predominantly syncretic worldview. That is, they have Bible, they have this view that is all embracing at the end of the day. So, now, watch this. While it is shocking to discover that a large majority of Christian pastors do not possess a biblical worldview, pastors are more likely than other population segments studied by the CRHC to embrace this life philosophy. So, now, they went into other things. Let me just keep that and show you something else. Hope you are paying attention. Okay. I've given you 1 minute. Now, watch this. Look at the different subject matters. Percentage of pastors who have a biblical worldview in relationship to categories of belief and behavior. Purpose and calling. Now, they grouped it under purpose and calling, family, value of life, God, creation and history, faith practices, sin, salvation and relationship with God, human character and nature, lifestyle, behavior, relationships, Bible, truth and morals. They said, well, for pastoral position, those who hold the Bible view on purpose and calling, senior pastors, maybe 60%, associate 41%. That is when you ask, what is your purpose for living? Their view about seeing purpose is not biblical, or is biblical. Those who teach, 36%, executive pastor, 27%, youth and children pastors. Now, I want us to pay attention to the youth and children because it's an area you can easily neglect. They said it's 48%. Family value of life, generally. Now, of course, when you talk about America, they are really dealing with things like homosexuality, right? That's what they mean by family and value of life. Excuse me. Now, you have 49% senior pastors, 38% associate, teaching pastors 30%, executive pastors 17%, children's church 44%. God, creation, and history. This is very funny. 47% senior pastors, 34% associate, teaching 29%, executive 14%, children's church 33%. Seeing salvation and relationship with God, 48% senior pastors. Now, do you notice that it declines as it's going down? Now, what do you notice? That means they are not discipling them. Is that clear? So, it means that it's about activity. So, let me just run through that because of our time. Since salvation, you know, I have teaching, 18%, executive 7%, children and youth, 22%. Human character and nature, they have 44%. So, basically, it says during challenging times in America, I'll send this to you actually. Children's Christian churches have tremendous opportunities to influence our nation. However, when the world view of a leader as the pastor of most churches is indistinguishable from that of non-believers, it is difficult to capitalize on those ministry opportunities. Listen to this now. According to Banner, I've been studying Banner for 25 years and I use it a lot. I just chose to share this with you today. Keep in mind, Banner cautioned, a person's worldview primarily develops before the age of 13. Then it goes through a period of refinement through their teens and 20s. From a worldview perspective, a church's most important ministers are the children's pastors and the youth pastor. Discovering that 7 out of every 8 of those pastors lack a biblical worldview helps to explain why so few people in the nation's youngest generations are developing a heart and mind for biblical principles and ways of life, and why our society seems to have run wild over the last decade in particular. So Banner makes a suggestion. There's another strong piece of evidence that the culture is influencing the American church more than the Christian churches are influencing the culture. Research indicates that Americans are more likely to experience a positive impact on their worldview by hanging out with sage cons than they are by being in the presence or under the teaching of pastors. Banner, however, offered a note of hope in spite of the data. You cannot fix something unless you know it's broken. Other recent research we have conducted suggests most pastors believe that they are theologically in tune with the Bible. Perhaps these findings will cause many of them to take a closer look at how well their beliefs and behavior conforms to biblical principles and command. Basically, that is what he said. So now, why are we going this route? I'll tell you why. It's to first of all go to the root of who are pastors and why are you pastoring today. And this was what I dealt with a lot in the second service. So it's clear, therefore, that there is more than meets the eye on how the world influences us. You can't underplay the role of how the world influences us. Which means, like Proverbs 4:23 says, you have to guard your heart with all diligence. So as we as we expose our minds to the world, its systems, its thought pattern, and unlike the priest of the Old Testament who stays in the tabernacle or in the temple, you go out. Yeah, right. You go out, you go everywhere, there are a lot of things that will naturally influence you. You know, I was sharing this with some of you. I said, I still said it to some people today. Someone today, I said, we were at the government college luncheon last week. So we had these guys. Now, normally, in government college, of course, we don't use senior, those nonsense people from all those regular schools. Is it senior something? Senior. You know, we don't use. There was one guy like that. He came to say, I tell government college. He said, what house? He said, Blue House. I said, come along with you. We don't use such nonsense. What's Blue House? It's a Zapata community. Or Loyola. Or, well, James' school. James is Banner Grammar School. Eh? Eh? Okay. So we call you IU. You know, IU schools. You know. When people don't pass government college entrance, they go to his school. Don't go and ask. It's true. That's the truth. So we don't use. I was head boy in government college. Eh? We don't use such words. Head boy, Blue House.
No.
So normally our seniors, so we call them please. You don't use. You call the surname, then you say Onoyinka, please. That's how we did. And we don't call them seniors. When you have someone like that, we don't use school father. We say my tio. Yeah, we're just very unique. So now boys, when they leave school, particularly those who are 2-3 years your senior, some of them 5 years, they don't even care. They just call you by your name. I don't know how you did, but I've never changed. Why would I change how I call him? Why? Age? No. Money? Influence? If those things affect you, then there's a problem with your character. Nothing should change you. Because some of them, they've not given you official car or official house. You now start bouncing. Bouncing in the Lord, I'm bouncing. Now start talking, you know, your salary is no longer 50K. It's now 500K. Now your hair starts to swell. There's a Christian character problem. When we went for our 30th anniversary, which was in 2019, and there was this man who was at, they call him Green Joseph. So we used to drive Green Joseph. Was it Green Joseph driver? I think so. So the man came. Hi, everybody. So I just prostrated for the man. Ah. So, people saw me because I was the president there. Everybody just joined me. Ah. I said, the man. I said, look, that's who you are. For yesterday, again, and it's not something I planned. I was called to the, Brotox called me to come and say something in their meeting. As I got there, because I had not seen him, I prostrated. So I said, associates. Really? I said, if I saw him on the road, that's how I greet him. If I see him in America, that's how I greet him. Yes. So they say, come over, we invite so and so person. And as soon as he called my name, of course, maybe I don't know, he's just super shouting. So you can just walk up, you know, let me do it for him, for you. Yeah, go. Hallelujah. Do you understand? We don't do eye service to honor and respect. We do it everywhere. Is that clear? You know. So, like I said, but you know what I just said now? The world will accept it. That, you are now a governor now. You are now the MD of a bank. No. You are a Christian. And your worldview must be shaped from scripture. Right? Your worldview must be shaped from scripture. No matter what is in this world. I love that song. You know, this world has nothing on me. That song by, what's the name now? This world doesn't hold me anymore. This world doesn't have, it doesn't have that thinking. You don't have that thinking. You don't have that thinking that I have money, I have this, I'm that, and maybe you are pastoring now, your church is bigger and larger than some people that you grew together, so you start to throw shoulder. That's, you are very carnal. You're just carnal. That's it. There is nothing. There is no reason why a Christian should change because of that. Except you are carnal. You know, it's carnality that wastes things like that. You know, now you are married, you have children, so you don't want to be in operations. You don't want to wash toilet. You are carnal. You have changed the way you do, because you are, you now have grandchildren. You are carnal. That's carnality. You must drop carnality. So, like what we read, that worldview, let me rephrase something that Banner said again. He said that, now, usually, you'll find such people mix up a variety of holistic worldviews. Secular humanism, Marxism, you know, blending ideas. They are just ideas floating. And you pick them and start thinking like them. Don't forget that these ideas are used in your office. You use them to make money. You use them. Sometimes when I saw the people, because I'm involved in politics, when I see someone, I say, no, politics, you. I can tell you that this is politics. So, you see, we experience those things in our line of business, but they don't shape my worldview. Do you understand? It doesn't shape my worldview. It doesn't change my disposition. That's how somebody got up one day, after believing the grace message, and said, Pastor, I thought that Michael Jackson was saved. I said, how? I'm just seeing the way. How would you not see that somebody is not saved? Of course, I think that towards the end of Michael's life, I think he got saved from some information I got. I think he did. Because some people say they went to him. So they got him, you know, to pray with them. And so I'm not sure, but you mean it's not likely. You and Michael are in the house of God. It's not likely. And it could be other people. It's not difficult to be born again like that. It's just born again. He's just born again. What about your own followers? That the one that shall be, that them shall be now. You know. So the worldview is that you are here. You are into politics, you are into business, you are into science, and you are a medical doctor, you are a lawyer. You say, no, the law, you know, legally, like a brother was telling me one day, I said, that fellow, look at him, he says, sir, I'm not the one suing him, it's my company. I said, whoa. I said, not a lawyer, I said, it's not me. Says, I'm just handing over to the law. I said, wow. See how he's reasoning. His biblical worldview is 0.5. It's very easy. You see, what I'm saying looks like, no, you just picked it up. You are now engrossed in the world. People are now typing on Twitter, hey, bagada, hey, boga, hey, bagada, bagada. And just, there's something that you will like in what it is, in what's going on. I mean, just like when you were in school. How many of you went to the boarding house from going home, then go to the boarding house. You have to go home, leave home, and as a student, move to boarding house. The first thing that you will see is freedom. There's nobody calling you, at least not yet. You will say, freedom. And let me mention, when you get to university, you know, at the boarding house, you have senior university. You can miss lectures for a whole semester. And nobody will disturb you. But your disturbance is loaded. A whole semester. You can just be sleeping. You can club, party, pray, same. And you miss school and say, yeah, I'm no longer a kid, I'm an adult. You don't know adult is a problem. I remember when I got married. I used to flash my father, so you call me. So the morning of, I flash him. I flash. So I now called. I called. Then he picked it. I said, what pay in? I said, nope. You're flashing me. I said, that's what I said. Nope. You are now married. If you cannot call, you should not have gotten married. That's what he told me. I said, less than 24 hours. So, you see, now you graduate. And now? So you see, you're not free, you're in the university, you can walk out of a lecture. See, I'm not feeling this man. You can't do that in secondary school. Well, it depends on your school. Maybe James school. If I'm a grammar school. I'll be focusing on you a lot now. And is there any Gobi Collect boy here? Eh? Who? That school that we used to house brethren. Okay. Your school is a hostel. See that? I'll focus on the two of you. I'll leave King's College for now. For a reason. So you know, unlike body, you're not free. You can walk out of the class. I don't like you. You can even choose not to attend the examination. You know? But the point is, so as we are in the world, we are engaged. We're just on social media, just talking. And they don't care who is listening to them. There was someone like that that was writing something. He said, all this, the guy, the way he spoke about Yorubas. Ah! He spoke against adult generation. He spoke against Hausa. Sisters was speaking loosely. He went and spoke against adults, all these useless. So that's how I was now consulting for an organization that was trying to employ people. I now saw the guy. And he was very humble. When they told me to recommend, I couldn't recommend him. This kind of fellow. He's like, one fellow like that too. When they were doing SAS, he was saying, go to SAS. So I saw his tweet. I called him. I said, you, I will expose you. I bailed you with 750,000. I said, you. He said, no, uncle. Yeah, I said, hypocrite! I said, if you don't remove that tweet now, I'm going to tell the world, sir, that's how you ran. Let's go to the guy, they say, someone has cursed me. Called the friend and said, for what? He said, he just got to say, what did you do? He said, you did nothing. They just took you. He said, we did nothing. He said, it's like Yahoo. I will never forget it. It's like Yahoo. It's like Yahoo. What's like Yahoo? Hotmail. I mean Gmail. So be wise, huh? Go on, didn't I? He said, all these egos. All these Hausas, I pity you. You now be praying and you are struggling. Because you are saying what you should not say. People have seen it. So you just take it. Don't allow the world. You see, your worldview will be shaped by the things that you are reading. So as you are engaging, somebody asked me, said, you are into biblical research, you are reading history of scripture and all that. I said, many people who go this far, he said, by the point they start to, you know, abandon the faith. I said, it's not possible. I said, well, I wasn't going to find out what the faith was about. I'm a believer. I said, there's nothing to shake. There's nothing that will shake me. You guys, that's serious. I said, yeah. Because it's true that there are information that if people get to know without being strong in the faith, they will backflip. Backflip is small. I think they will parachute. I'm telling you. They just say, ha! 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 They're in trouble. So your worldview is shaped. We just read this, our pastors. And let me tell you something that I know. Usually, because the Nigerian Pentecostal Charismatic Church is framed after the American church, it's the same thing that has happened. I know. Is totally framed. Their services, you see, the services that they hold, as soon as they started using projectors, we were doing it. As soon as they started doing scripts, we were doing it. We just follow it. So, but the strange part is, when you see a church building in Nigeria, and you see the buildings around it, they are always like a sacred place and the world. Like Garden of Eden in the midst of, you know, this house is so fine, it's a church. The houses around it are not so But when you go to America, you will see a difference. So they probably are reasoning according to their economic status. We know the church has to be the... So I know that this is, you are trying to reflect. Same way now we have abandoned normal seminary training and teaching. We have picked up online teaching. It's because it was gotten from the US. It's direct. So again, we are using data, right? Simple. You can see it. Look at the sermons. We picked up 45 minute sermons. It's America. I remember we brought a preacher here and he said, he said, normally when you go and preach and they give you time, you think they've not given you enough time. That's the usual thing. This one said, it's too much. He said, I'm preaching. I said, what are 30 minutes? He said, just one service? I said, yes. I said, normally I do 2 hours. One service? I said, yes. Because in America, they believe your attention span of people have just between 30 and 45 minutes. After 45 minutes, you have raptured. So what they do now is, even in Bible school, you do 45 minutes, then you go for tea break, 15 minutes. Then you come back. Bible school. It's also in Nigerian Bible schools now. 45 minutes, then you do 15, just go out and go. So when you get to Church in America, outside, sorry, the American folks are watching me. You have a coffee place outside. So why the coffee place is there? So if you are really feeling like you are sleeping in the service, just throw and say, can I have a coffee here? Write it down. Give it another 2 years. I just without doing it. I know. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. It doesn't, no, at all. Just go outside and pick coffee. I take it. Yes. I'll join you in church soon. So, is your own biblical worldview true from America? is it also from America? So the truth is, we must recover the biblical worldview, the meaning of things in scripture. Who was in the second service today? You were there? Okay, we took time to see what pastor means. In spite of the fact that those who are using it today are genuine but wrongly used. We're going to do it again this evening. Are you here? So, first and foremost is to guard your heart. And you have to do it. Like I said, some of these things, you pick them up in relating with fellow Yorubas, you castigate one group. You castigate that group. You castigate this one group. You castigate this ethnic group. If you are Hausa, you castigate maybe Igbos. If you are Igbo, you know. And gradually, that becomes your worldview. Because you didn't guard your heart. You didn't guard your heart. We're having a meeting yesterday. I'm going to repeat it. The person has said, Pastor, I'll repeat it. We're having a meeting. And I noticed, I said, when I asked people to share, some people forgot where they were. Someone say, you know, I noticed that, you know, strategy. Something I don't say. I say strategy in other meetings, but I don't say it in church. But the person said it. Someone else said, you know, rather than use encourage, the person said, you need someone to ginger you. No. See, no. We all have the same tendency. Because you use ginger lemon. You use it in conversations. You didn't know where you were anymore. It's a sacred place. So, your worldview has been affected. Same way. You know, people dress to church and, you know, you say, brother, you are not looking, you are looking indecent. Because it's an indecent way man can also dress. Okay. Where do we pick beard gang from? Now the Afro, man, is the world. People are now wearing native and tennis. You know, truth of the matter is fashion. Fashion also goes with the world, no doubt. But a Christian should cut back a bit. You dress and your everything is tight with a lady and it's tight. Like Rob Frank said in those days, he said, there are some brethren, there are some folks. No, this is how he said it. He said, you know, what we're running from the world has now come to us in the church. He said, there are some folks. He said, when they dress, you don't need any imagination to lust. They are already lost in your presence. It's the truth. This was, he said this in 1996. He has passed away, the Lord now. World view. So, the world view, because you look at, you know, in many churches, for example, there are some things they can't say. Because they want to be politically correct. Someone could not say on TV that Jesus, they asked him a question. They said, are you saying now that Jesus is the only savior in the world? The man said, he doesn't want to judge people. You don't want to judge. No! Jesus is the savior of the world. Plain and simple. It doesn't mean I'll tell you, you know, I'll say, well, you have the right to your belief. I have to mine. Mine says without Jesus, a man will go to hell. Simple. They called me one time and someone said, if you are given an opportunity to speak to the world at once, what would you like to see? You know, an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? I was in university and so poor writing my final, this happened twice. So I'm saying the first one. He said, what do you do in the next 5 years? So everybody said, I want to do this. We're just writing all sorts of things. But I said, I want to be preaching the gospel all over the world. So I said, oh, don't be speedy. And this person is a Christian pastor. You know, there's a Christian pastor. I said, what don't you say? You know, I know you. You know, but let's just be real. Oh, so that nonsense. You want to blend. I said, well, if I have the opportunity to speak to the world at once, I'll tell them about Jesus. At once? Well, that would be an opportunity. And a great one at that. So the truth is, we have to recover ourselves in this world. Don't forget how I started. I said, what I said earlier. These things are things you engage in the business world. And you use it. It's like when I was in university, we did a course, philosophy 102 or something, logic or something. And they were telling us that we should write it down that there is no part, that God is a concept. That concept, it was there in the textbook. God is a concept, water is a concept that can be God. And I wrote it and I passed. You got how to write it to pass. You get it? But I refuse it to be my worldview. So where is the line? The thin line. The thin line is when a believer will get to that, when you feed on the word of God. I can't tell you what to do in this circumstance. But when you feed on the word enough, there will be God's wisdom in maneuvering out of those situations. Such that you will not be using logic. You can't beat the devil at logic. Are we together here? The same way, if you're a medical doctor, if you don't know, if you are not careful, you'll start seeing diseases from a natural point of view. So seeing diseases as inflictions of the devil will be likely, it will be strong. Seeing the supernatural will be, you want to explain it away. And I can tell people, you see, there is the truth of the natural when it comes to divine or health and all that. But watch this. There are times, and many times, where the answer is the supernatural. Someone told me this, that was last year, about Christmas. It was Christmas, the day after Christmas. And said, you know, like, I was told by next month I'll die and all that. I said, well, the person asked me, I said, look, do you believe in miracles? I said, I do, sir, but I said, that bot has finished the story. You should believe in miracles exclusively. A Christian must believe in miracles. In fact, like Remak Hakim says, you can't even live in Africa and not believe it. Of course, you know what it means. So you have to believe in miracles. You have to believe God. Because the doctors had passed by January ending or, you know, person is still alive. In fact, I was told that she went into coma 5 times and they thought she was gone. One day, just spoke out the word.
keep at it.
But still, I mean, the doctors are still saying they are surprised she has stayed this long. We believe God. That's how they will be saying it. We believe God. You can't have everything logical. Logical, logical, logical. Even when you are using drugs, believe God. Is that clear? So you have to recover your worldview. Ensure. And you know the why I'm saying this, and I purposely read this banner report for you, because you see, you are responsible for the flock. If your philosophy is shaped by the world, one day, your theology will be shaped. It will be shaped. Such that you will have you will not be convinced again about what you are preaching. You just preach it for people to hear and believe. But you don't see it that way. I told someone that wanted to travel out of the country, I said, did you pray about it? It was as though I farted. Pray. So I've already explained my situation. I said, I heard your situation. I know your situation. We have situations. Have you prayed about it? That is simple. That is what Christians should normally ask. Somebody wants to go into a relationship. Have you prayed? I'm not asking you a stupid question. Have you prayed? I trust God. The person said, I trust God. Everything will be fine. I said, we all trust God. Have you prayed? You want to leave your country for another country, and you are following the trend in the world. Why did you now get born again? What is the essence of eternal life? If you reason the way the world reasons. That's why I tell some of our professional friends, my mentors, I said, look, you are born again. When we are born again, there is a limit to our pursuit and ambition. We put a cap on it ourselves. How can I ask you, did you pray and you are looking at me like I said something stupid? No, I didn't say anything stupid. That is what a Christian should normally ask you. In fact, the response should be, sir, let's pray together about it. That's how Christians talk. Look at me. It is not outdated. Do you hear me? It is not outdated. We are jackpying. We are jackpying. It's not outdated. It is not outdated. So we must recover our world view. We must recover it. Appropriately so. What I'll do this evening, I won't go through what I taught in the second service. I'll have them work on it and release it for you. So that portion, the second service, the one I taught today, I wanted to teach it this evening, but the way I'm sensing, I would go in another direction. But I want you to listen to it, because I want you to see that what you are doing today, I'm going to start from where I stopped. Are you okay with that? Mm-hmm. I'm going to start from where I stopped. What you are doing today is the natural consequence of Christian living. Don't think, see, this is how, if you think that they impose this on you, you know, there's a way you can start seeing this as Pastor Shane wants me to, Pastor Somi wants me to, you know. And every time you start thinking like that, hear me. You stop seeing Pastor Larry as speaking to you by the Spirit of God. And this is God's word. You are now in the flesh. You are now in the flesh. I remember something that someone said one day. Was a friend, late too now. Her name was Sandra. She was pastor. She said something that blessed me. She said that we Christians, there is a position we can take when we are hearing someone talk. She said we can stay in the flesh and hear the person. And we can stay in the spirit and hear the person. She said, but however, what makes us stay in either way, is the kind of choice that we have made in our lives. I won't forget this. She said it in 1997. That you can, if I'm listening to you now, you know, because I asked her, I said, you are from a wealthy family, you are older than I am. But my word is almost like law. And I knew it wasn't eye service, it was nothing like that. Nothing close to that. I said, no, that is the way you receive something. You can say, you can say, Bro Wale asked me to go on evangelism. You know? And you have said, he asked me to. But you can also say, the Holy Ghost. Not referring to him, but referring to why he told you, asked me to go. That's why you look at the book of Acts, you will see men talk and they say, the Lord said. So, it's where you are. So I said, the natural consequence, listen to this teaching, said the natural consequence, what we did today was, and I'm still going to elaborate more, that the use of pastor has confused many people. And so I showed you, who was in the service, that word pastor, Ephesians 4:11, we said, is it a verb or a noun? So what did we conclude? It was a verb. So, what exactly was the noun? The ministry gifts were verbs. So what was the noun? Who noticed what we're doing? What was the noun? What was the noun? The constant noun. Elder. Mature Christian. The other ones are a function of the elder. So, what it means, sir, is that the moment I'm not doing what I'm doing, I am backsliding. Don't give it another name. It's not, that was there. Don't give it another name. There is no other name it is called. I only went to go and do my masters. I only went to get married. I had to go and have children. I quickly had to go and sort out some things. I had to face my business, okay? You are backsliding. So, your worldview cannot be altered. You must guard it. In this world, your view of life must be Bible view. Bible view. So, what you are doing today is a natural consequence of growing spiritually. It's a natural consequence. Look at Acts 6. That is the natural consequence. It's not, okay, it's God's will. It's not God's will. Look at Acts 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmur of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Look at 3. Brethren, look ye among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now let me ask you this question. Is this a special characteristic? This is the believer's life. If a man is growing, he is full of insight into God's word and the practical application. He has honest report, right? That means his holiness lifestyle is plain for us to see. And he's full of the Holy Ghost. We see you. I'm going to die in a moment. Full of the Holy Ghost. A man who we can see in supernatural utterances. See. I'm going to get to this later today. If you are pastoring people, sales committee, look at me. And a whole month goes. There's nothing from God to your members. There's something wrong. You can't say, bro, Jiro, I just sent the Lord. That is pastoring. You may not even have to say God said. Because being full of the Spirit, yielding to the Holy Ghost, is a core part of your work. This is a believer's life. Look at 1 Timothy 3. If you listen to this teaching, we said, is the elder that is giving oversight. And I showed you from Exodus 18, that it was Moses that was doing it. Who was in that service? You know, we took precedence from what God did to Moses.
And we saw that was what Jesus did to the 12. Did you see it?
Same thing.
And who did God take the honor on him to put on? He took it from Moses and put on the elders of the people. The people who have shown maturity. Not that people are shouting in the church. You join there. We have said it. We have said it. This is not working. Yeah? Ah, I don't know what... why should the church be dirty? Ah! The Grecians and those who are mourning. No, said, look for the elders. Those who are mature. Not just old for nothing. They're just in church for nothing. Someone I called, I said, you've been in the church family. What are you doing? He said, yes, what are you doing? The mature people. You know how you know sometimes when they tell you, when you go, not you, say, don't you have someone at home who can tell you? You know, because they believe that maturity is wisdom should guide you. Don't you have somebody in your house that is mature? Because they don't expect mature people to behave. There's something maturity. So God, Jesus said, look for those who are mature. You know, who are able men that you can appoint over this. Say, some will be over 1,000, some 100, some 50s. So you'll be putting them over responsibilities. And notice that it is the same parable Jesus used in the parable of the talents. Over, over, over. So, this is not a special attribute. The person giving oversight, while you are giving oversight over other believers, it is assumed that you are more mature. That's all. That is why you are giving the oversight. And we're going to see it in a moment. You can lose oversight. You can. Those who are ex-pastors, we do. We have those who are pastor churches and no longer pastoring. 1 Timothy 3. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he has a good work. He said, look, if you want this responsibility, it's alright. It's a good work. The bishop is also called the elder. Same 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders that rule well. Let them be counted worthy of double honor. Paul makes a distinction between elders, the aged, 1 Timothy 5, and elders that teach. Some people are aged, you know, they are experienced, we see them. Some are elders that teach. The difference is what we're about to see. 1 Timothy 3. He said, a bishop must be blameless. Is that unique to any believer? Is it not for a believer? Okay? Husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20 is to teach. It says here, now, apt to teach here is not just irresponsible to teach, you are able to teach. It says, not given to wine. No striker. I was telling someone, I said, you read throughout scripture, that wine, wine is this one, just a wine. I said, but did you observe that the Nazarenes were told not to touch it? Was that instruction? It's a constant instruction. And look at some of the things that happened in Genesis, for example. Whether you look at Lot or Noah, you saw what alcohol did to them. And you now see scriptures not giving to wine. I said, well, what about red wine? Blue wine? Not given to wine. It says here, no striker. That's not football. So, anything. Slap, slap, poker. Whoa. And that includes your house girl. Amen? Amen? You need a strike church member. House girl. Hey, poker. Hey, poker. Or housemaid or helper. Dressing, you now bring the person to church. You now say, turn the necessary beside you. Say, smile, don't you know God loves you? Verse 8 says, that's true. Come to think of it, mommy. I love you too, madam. Taking your time smiling to so. Very, you can't laugh. Let's see at all. Want to disgrace me? I don't want to laugh in church. Not greedy or filthy looker. Money. 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 Some people follow man because of money. I know someone like that. Heavenly grace of God. I told a lady years ago. I said, you like money. You keep church money. She will spend it. So you like money. You like money. There was someone like, we went to the meeting then. She said, he's a nice guy. I said, new convert. Nice guy. Likes money. You like money. You like to look good. You know, I know in those days, you know, we're still doing bread brew. So everybody was still, but this person was not very flashy. I mean, you like money. So when I found out the person married an unbeliever, I said, it was a natural consequence. You like money. You like money. That's it. You like money. You take care anywhere. I know preachers so that we want, you like money. You are in this thing for money. You like it. We all love money, oh, but greedy or filthy look, it controls your appetite. You can't say no. If they give you a job that will take you away from serving God, you can't say no. You will not be explained. Someone will not tell you, see. Someone told me, that someone sat her down. The person was explaining to me, he said, look into my eyes. He said, you are an entrepreneur. Don't let anybody make you feel bad. You see, serving God is not within the four walls of church. Have you heard that kind of nonsense? It's not four walls of church. Now somebody told me in 1994. I said, why are you doing braids, a man, and earrings, and doing tattoo? Today, tattoo is even popular. Then tattoo was very strange. So, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, understand the world. I said, I don't get it. He said, you know, salt, you have to put it inside water. And listen very well. When it's in water, you don't know the difference. But the salt is salting the water. He says, so I'll be in the water. I say, you know, yeah, you put the salt inside the water and then it mix together. You won't know the difference. It's now salty water. It got to you. You know? So he said, not give your feet to look at, but patience. You know, these are not unique things though. This is spiritual growth. Not a brawler. Not covetous. The moment you see someone bring a car to church, they are thinking of a car. When you see a resource, they say, how much is that your phone? Why do you want to? How much is that your phone? Do you need a phone? I'm just asking. Yeah. 300K. Yeah. Did they say fairly used? Emoji. Emoji. Yoruba's call it olojukokoro. It's not, it's a wrong, that thing is wrong. It's olojukokuro. You know, kokuro, that is, you can't take your eyes off. Then I say, let me see that your phone again. You saw it last week. I know. Let's just see it again. You can steal. There was a brother like that who stole in the church. we're less than 10. I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I said, what are you using? I think it's so 5 naira or 10 naira. I said, for what? We all ate. Hey, I was not food, sir. I wanted to go and there was no place like that near one of our brothers. We used to buy beans and bread. That beans, I've not seen this kind of. And she usually cooked that beans around 8 o'clock. Someone said they put something. I say, I agree. I'm not disputing this. Do you know, till right now, I'm feeling like eating it. Something I ate last 1996. This is how this mother stole money. I went to buy the beans. They put something. Covetous. Right? One that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Which means, which must be seen in your home. Good parenting. Not a novice. Let's be lifted up with prayer. I'm going to come to this one. He falls into the condemnation of the devil. I'm going to look at the one for the deacons. Likewise. Okay, let's say 7. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he falls into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Look at the two things he says about the devil here. Pride. When he's a novice. 7. Good report of them that are without, lest he falls into reproach. How do you conduct yourself in your office? Or else there will be a reproach. A reproach. An affair in the office. A taking money, stealing, lying, exaggeration, reproach. So they will fall into the snare of the devil. Two things. Report in the world. 2. It says, pride. Because he's a novice. Company is going for a trip in Europe. And so you have no restriction. I remember when I was in university, they said they were going for a law dinner. I said, why are you doing it overnight? Dinner is not overnight. They said, but are you, there are other Christians there. I said, I'm aware. Why is it overnight? I was asking the president. He said, you know, what we try to do is that we do the awards around 10 to 11, then we just leave everybody, we just have fun generally. I'm not coming. He said, well, you know, just to let down the air. I said, I don't even have any. So, don't bother yourself. Don't bother yourself to ask me to, what year are you letting me? He said, bring reproach. The snare of the enemy. He says, the deacon must be grave, sober. You have to be sober. Not double-tongued. Not giving too much wine, or greedy of you, not double-tongued. Unstable. Now, I'm going to ask you, is this exclusive to some people? No. This is how believers ought to be. This is spiritual maturity. That is what it is. Spiritual growth and maturity is what we just read. And particularly, just like what we read earlier, you are not influenced by diverse ideas, diverse things, the world view of the world. That's not what is influencing you. Have to guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23, out of it are the issues that govern life. A double tongue. Honest report. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So this is the consequence of spiritual growth. And spiritual growth does not cease the moment you take up responsibilities. It's expected of a steward. 1 Corinthians 4. That he is found faithful. Which means that you are meant to be consistent with these things. You are meant to be consistent with these things. As you protect your heart, you protect your ministry. As you grow spiritually, you protect your ministry. This is why. Look up to what I'm about to say. Spiritual growth is a daily affair for you. It's a daily affair. It's a daily affair for you. This is a natural consequence. Or else, the statistic we just read earlier will become your... You just are amending. And amending the way you see things. Or something like that. Who told me when he was in university, you know, he used to organize teaching services, prophetic seminars and all that. So the person was out doing different things. I said, well, I decided to read wide. I think that when I limit myself to the Bible, I said, I've not asked you to limit yourself to the Bible. I read a lot. I read. I was engaging someone 2 days ago or 3 days ago. And the person, an elderly man, was in action group. Well, later days, it was youthful, like, but he was in UPN, so we're talking politics. So when I was talking to him, he said, how old are you? I told him, he said, the things you are talking about. And I was talking to him precisely. I said, sir, I've read. And I read. I said, all this. He said, what you just told me now. He said, a few people know it. I said, I know. I read. So it's not a question of don't read. Don't read. Just the Bible you should read. In fact, the Bible will run away from you. That's the truth. But you know what shapes your values. This is for commerce. This is for my career. This is for this one. But what shapes everything is my biblical worldview. When I see an unbeliever, he's an unbeliever. I still know that what this fellow needs is salvation. When I see a Muslim, he's a Muslim. I'm mentored by 2 Muslims. Great guys. Do you get it? In the business world. In other fields. But there's no way they shape how I think. They can't. They can't. You know why it's like that? If I spend more time reading their works, they will shape my worldview. So there's an order of priority. What do you read more? What do you study more? Which one can you do without? Which one can you not do without? That's what shapes it. Some of us, if they take your job from you, you will stop praying. Do you know why? Because prayer was not your priority. If they take your job from you, you will stop studying. You lose your peace, you lose your joy, because that was not your priority. So that's how you know. That's how you know. You are going to be mentored by excellent Muslims who do well in your career. Non-believer, atheists. I went for a business meeting in the United Kingdom, and the guy was accurate. In fact, the things he said, he did projections economically. We sat down, he was trying to give us some projections. We're trying to do, you know, a transaction. And the guy spoke accurately. So I was telling my senior partner, Roland, I said, what was the guy saying? Which one? The guy said that the dollar will be this amount. He said the year that the dollar will be this amount. I laughed because no Christian. God forbid battle. He tapped me. He said, Shegu, if this guy was alive, God, in the days of Joseph, God won't need to give Pharaoh any dream. This guy will tell Joseph what to do. I look at him and say, because that will happen. I went for one conference in Singapore, and the guy got up. Then crude oil was on my mouth. He got up, was on the board. I was teaching. So we're trying to do a deal with some guys in Indonesia. And the guy got up and said, I'll advise, and he was saying to Joseph, I'll advise you guys to hold on the deal. I said, why? Something that we're doing meetings. And at that time, you start counting your chickens. we're already counting the money. You know, when you're early in business, start counting money before you make it. So I'm already counting. Okay. When we make this one, we'll now make this one. Me and my partner was, the guy said, I'll advise you guys to hold on it. But I said it
at dinner. So the next time, it was a conference, so the next time I was talking. He said, I perceive that crude oil will be this amount of dollars. And we looked at, prophet of doom. He said, it will alternate between $27 to $30. So it will ever, it was talking like, you know, when someone is seeing a vision. It was accurate. Now, let me go back to the two. The one I just said now, right, is an atheist. The first one, gay. When he brings business tomorrow, I'll do it. Ah. Do you get my point? I've told you I'm a believer. I told you I believe in Jesus. That's okay. Bring your money. Do you get it? You know that when I'm talking, I'm telling me, I think the Bible, don't go to Bible, that's money. I walk out of this place. Ah. That's why some of you go for tutorials. Rather than stick to your physics 404. The guy now be saying, you see, God, okay, leave God. Physics. We are study partners. I did not call for a pastor. No one to put the limit. Because if you say only believers will help you academically, you will fail. If you say only believers will mentor you in the business world, it's good if you get people. You know, but you fail. You discover that the person you are looking for has a mentor that is not a Christian. So, you know where to place the limit. You now begin to receive family values. Why? Stick to business. Family values, thinking, you know, how you should do things. I say, I think the person is making sense. What sense? No. You check your heart. Before you know it, it will enter your theology and live there. Your pastor is just preaching, you are just gauging what he's saying. I get this in scripture, but is pastor not being too rigid? I think someone told me, I think the Bible should be flexible. But someone told me, he said, look, the guy I said was doing prophetic seminar. I said, I think that the only thing we should take out of the Bible that is relevant to this God is love. He said, the other things, they are for that time. Ah, this is serious. Because you have mixed with the world. So, what we have read. And you see such people, they have Bible beliefs and other beliefs just walking together. So as a believer, you must watch the things that you are now affirming with confidence. You guard your heart. The only way out of what we have read earlier is spiritual growth. I said here, spiritual growth justifies your salvation. It justifies the fact that you are saved. So we're going to talk about two things that Brother Hagin taught us back then. And I learned it also. I remember when I walked into Rema Chapel, 1993 now. I remember Victor Adeyemi was singing this series. And he led us to the book, The Anointing by Kenneth Hagin. And this thing helped me because it helped me stabilize a lot, you know, almost 30 years ago. That there is, now this is how Brother Hagin puts it. I won't say it in this light, but let me say it to help you. That there's the anointing within and the anointing upon. Of course, 1 John 2:20, the anointing within abides within you. That one is for fellowship and spiritual good, the other one is for service. Now you get what they're saying. It's like the spirit upon, where you talk about gifts of the spirit, ministry gifts, is to serve others. But there's a spirit within, which is about your personal walk with God. Now, the truth of the matter is that the spirit upon is an outflow. The more reason why, as a believer, let me use this loose illustration. Cultivate the spirit within, the anointing within, Brother Hagin calls it, to keep steady the anointing upon you. You have to cultivate it. You have to cultivate it. And how do you do it? Put the word of God first place. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Let them not depart out of your eyes, for they are life to those that find them, verse 22, and health to all their flesh. Guard your heart
with all diligence, for out of it are the issues that govern life. Put my word first place. Put it first place. What that means is that you have a devoted attitude to God's word. A devoted attitude to God's word. A steadfastness to it. Let me tell you what I mean. Look up. It means you are quick to hear God's word. You are quick to hear it. You are quick to listen to it. You are quick to read it. You are quick to pick up something and write something from God's word. And let me say this. If throughout the day, this is for all of you, I'm talking everybody, if throughout the day, there are no times in the day where you just stop to take note of something you are thinking about in scripture, there's something wrong with your Christian life. Throughout the day, some of you during the fast, you just read the exhortation by the side, then wait till night. There's something wrong. Throughout the day, there should be a point you just stop and say, ah, what pastor said on Sunday just got clear. Throughout the day, you just say, ah, that thing I read. Oh, now, that shows that you are growing. That is meditate day and night. We'll get to that in a moment. So that devotion, not that you are only so fervent when you want to prepare a sermon note. No, sir. No, ma. No, sir. No, ma. Mm-mm. Throughout the day, things just flash. There are times like that I'm thinking on scripture and just laughing to myself. Wow. Do you get it? That is what helps me if I'm listening to anybody, anywhere. My devotion is 100%. I'm not boasting, but it's just the truth. So you have this attitude. You are vulnerable to God's word. Very vulnerable. You are very vulnerable. You know when you're vulnerable, you are just open to God's word. That's how to put the word first place. It will show in your daily activity. See, you spend the whole day, no meditation on God's word, no reading scripture, listening to teaching, and you went to sleep like that. See, you are backsliding. And just, oh, it's my office work. I have to submit this project and all that. I have to travel. I have to see patients and all that. All those ones are stories. Don't give yourself story. Listen to this quote. It is stories that lead to backsliding. Stories. Excuses. I like how Brother Kumu said those things. He said, you can give your pastor excuses, the superintendent. He said, but when you get to Jesus, he said, you don't have any excuse, you know. Because he knows you. Put the word first place. Meditate on the word. The last time out here, we said, it means to feast on it, right? To start having it in your thoughts. Meditate on the word. I told you something. That during the lockdown, Remember I told you? I said there is a game, a long game. When believers were no longer in fellowship like before, strange things happened. I said it then. I said, Satan has a long game here. We are yet to see the full import of those things. No, we are yet to see them. Because if I know the devil a bit that I do, no, I know him a lot, sorry. He capitalizes on situations. Whether you are grieving, whether you are excited, whether you are happy, always have it under the control of the word. Or else, you will see the devil show up. Put the word first place. Meditate. Think through. Let it be in your mind. How will you know it? Do you take notes during the day? You quickly take your phone and record something that came out to your heart. That means it is on your heart. It is on your heart. Let me mention this. You have fellowship in the evening to preach. Alright? You have church. And it's when you are done at the office that you now pick your notes. Gradually, watch what I'm about to say. The fire of your ministry will ebb out. gradually. You will now start doing it like a mechanical thing. Because what you are engaging on is a holy vocation. It doesn't, you can't do it by the side. So you have meditation upon the day and night. Psalm 1, verse 1. And you see, day and night, Joshua 1:8. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear unto all. 3. Speak the word. What did I say? What did I say? Write this down. Start talking the word to yourself every day like you are preaching. What am I saying? From today, start saying, you are going to hear this sermon today. This sermon is on walking in love. So you will be the audience of what you are saying. So you are hearing yourself. Not that the only time you speak the word is when you are on the pulpit. You know the Bible says. You know the Bible says is when you are preaching. But when you are alone, Genevieve said, Wizkid said, and one social influencer said, Macaroni said, Wole Soyinka said, Buhari said, Bill Clinton said, that's what is in your head. MD said, my GM said, my CMD said, that's what is in your mind. Create the time where you will be hearing you talk the word. Finally, so do the word. Brother Hagin will say, do the word. And instantly obey the voice of the Spirit. Do the word. Do the word. Take steps to do the word. As you feed on the word like that, you are making a culture of the anointing within you. And you will see the consequence on the flow of the Spirit upon you. Nobody becomes a proud Christian overnight because it's not your nature. Nobody becomes a lustful Christian overnight. It's not your nature. Or an immoral Christian. Nope. It is a function of when you see a Christian who is strong in the flesh, he is weak spiritually. He has deprived himself of food and exercise. He now becomes weak. So, if we are going to recover ourselves from the worldview of the world and have us think scripture above other views in this world, we have to do it conscientiously. So I said here, develop a personal life where you are feeding on God's word like an audience in church is. 1 Timothy 4. Are you here? So we need to move closely. Verse 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. I'm going to mention some things. I'm going to say that because of our time, the word here is gymnazo, exercise. And the way it is in the Greek is like to be naked, to throw everything out and into it. Exercise yourself. Exercise. Look at the exercise. The exercise means to heed instructions and take definite steps. Look at the exercise. Refuse. There will be things to walk away from. Put the brethren in remembrance. There will be things to remember. Give attendance to reading, verse 13, exhortation and doctrine. Neglect not. Meditate upon. Take heed. So this exercise is when you follow instructions. You are taking definite actions. He told Timothy, avoid. Flee. That is the exercise. Pray. Avoid. Flee. Pray. Teach. This is the exercise. What are the active steps you do in the day Are there things you avoid? Are there things you flee from? Are there things you meditate upon? And is there something you are praying about? 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, prayer, supplication, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You pray. You meditate. You take heed. Then you are acting upon God's word. You can't act upon God's word outside the instructions in God's word. So you are culturing the anointing within. Why? Because if you don't, it will affect your theology. Forget it. See, let me say something. Your theology necessarily is not what you hear me preach. It should be. Because I'm your pastor. So you feed from what I teach. But you see, if you don't develop your spiritual life, very soon, your theology will be very different. You will be hearing something, you might even be preaching something else. But in your heart, what you believe and you do is different. The reason is what we are saying now. When your spiritual life is loose, it's loose. You culture it with these simple things. Meditate upon the word. Give yourself to it. These are direct instructions. And Paul is not writing to new converts. He's writing to a pastor. So you can see, if Paul can load 1st and 2nd Timothy with instructions, it means, like we say, the life of a minister is in the instructions, spiritual growth is in following instructions. You know, Paul didn't say, "Does hear the Lord." When you are under a God-given supernatural relationship with a pastor, your default, except otherwise proven, your default is to see the person as God talking to you. Like I said, except otherwise proven, where it is now being used to manipulate, to control, to pass across selfish and personal ambition, which is always an exception. That's why, run away from all these people saying pastors are controlled. See, don't allow the world tell you how a pastor should be. I've told you here before. I remember somebody called me from Ghana. And said, "Sir, what you said that day was pointed." I said, "Don't join anybody to criticize pastors who have their children as pastors." I said, "Don't be stupid. You are raising children that you want to serve the Lord. You now use your mouth stupidly to join the world. Don't do that. Don't join people who criticize pastors who are being blessed materially. Are you silly? These are things that are biblical. Don't join people to criticize churches that are large. And you are now struggling with yourself. Why will you not struggle? Don't join things like that. Don't say stupid things like that. Don't join people that say people's wives are preaching as pastors. I'm not saying a man's wife has to be a pastor at all costs. I didn't say that. But who doesn't want the spouse to serve God? Don't let the world give you an idea. Don't join people that talk about, "Why could somebody be respecting a pastor that way?" And they are using, don't join people to talk like that. I know you don't. That's the world view. That's not your own view. Your view is Bible view. What did I say? It's Bible view. You exercise yourself. As you culture the anointing within, you have an overflow. And let's see the result of it as I start to close. You start seeing yourself full of the Spirit. You have more supernatural utterances. You will know when your utterances are not mechanical. You will know. You will know. And if the only time you speak by the Holy Ghost in Holy Ghost meetings, you are in soup. You are in hot soup. Let me tell you something. This is me telling you. In corporate meetings, most of the time, it is the corporate field that's helping you. If on your own, those your pastor, when last did you say, give them a word in season, and you spoke, and they said, pastor said what was really on my heart. I'm saying this to you in Christ Jesus. There's hardly a day that I don't minister to somebody and they say, it's like you're talking to me. There's hardly a day. Because you have to be fresh. That's why you are praying. You are pastoring people. You have not spoken, and what you said was a word in season. It's just a conversation. And you say something and you're like, wow. Wow. Remember someone like that? As I said, do you know that what you said? In fact, let me mention this. I've had groups of people who have told me that you put out something on Facebook and I had wanted to kill myself. But that was it. Because sometimes I want to put something out, I just check my heart. Don't put this one out. And I say, go and look for this one. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. You can't be pastoring just using the experience. And that's why some of us, the members of our congregation, are Christians that are not smart. You just gather people that are maybe small boys and say, oh yeah, pray! You know why? You won't grow beyond those people. Because you will find yourself not being able to pastor intelligent Christians. You know why? They can't grow beyond you. They can't. So look at your congregation today and say, am I pastoring spiritually intelligent people? If you are not, then go back to your closet. Do you hear me? Go back to your closet. Go back to your closet. Some of us, of course, we should have strong pastors of youth and children. You have not left fortress kind of church. Well, fortress is a ministry. No doubt. But you've not been able to go beyond. You can't pastor or teach your mates. Or those that are as exposed as you. You can't. You know why? You have not developed yourself. You have not. The word in season. When last did you speak by the Holy Ghost? The don't say the Lord. Like I showed in the morning, you get that teaching. That the elder is God's prophet, is God's apostle, is God's evangelist, is God's pastor and teacher. So, do you give the word of the Lord? Do you? When last did you pick something in the spirit to those you pastor? As you are praying, you saw something. You may not tell the person directly, and you addressed it. That is pastoring. But you know you won't get that. If your prayer life is absent-minded, you're supposed to do 1 hour prayer chain, you do 20 minutes. 30 minutes, you rush off to work. Don't joke with God, though. Don't joke. Don't play with God. Don't do that. You're fasting. Times of fasting. We said we are studying, praying in the Spirit. That's what the Holy Ghost said we should do. You know, I said that's the time you want to study law in Genesis. You are far from God. That's what the Holy Ghost wants us to read. By the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of God. That is the Spirit of God. Time you start grumbling, you are grudgy. Your fellowship coordinator is talking to you, and then you are feeling that you are being attacked. Satan is working on you. The voice that used to tell you, don't be stupid. When it says it again, you receive it the same way. You say, like my friend Sandra said, you have moved from the Spirit. You are now in the flesh. Paul will tell a whole church, oh, you stupid Galatians. Nobody left church when he said it. Nobody said, nobody did left church. Take it as God's instructions. Like I said yesterday, during the meetings with the leaders, yesterday or the day before, and I said, someone said this in this conversation. He said, this was even the natural. I said, the way I received from my mentors, he said, I use the same door that I got to meet them, to always talk to them. So I keep the door open that way. At no point do I slip into, he's now my friend. He's not, I said, stay so that I can position myself well. It's like this camera. If this camera is fixed here, don't shift it. Okay, both of you are on me. And I decide to go like this. You know you can't see me again. Why? I've moved away from the view. If I move like this, until I face you. So if I move away from the Spirit, and I stay like this, look, I'm switching, and I stay like this, I'm no longer in your view. I'm gone. You have to position yourself well. Not just to your pastors and leaders, to the Holy Ghost in your private life. Do your best. Be diligent with the prayer chain. Did you hear me? It's faithfulness. Be diligent. Be diligent. When there's a fast, be diligent. You are developing a spiritual culture for yourself. You are a pastor by the Holy Ghost. One of the things required is that you are full of the Spirit. Able to minister by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. There was someone. That's in one of the fellowships. I'm closing now. Just call the person up. I can't say much here because you may be busy. And I said, I just saw this. They said, ha! Screamed on the phone. Ha! I said, I saw it because I was praying for you. I said, I saw it. Now the stupid fellow. Now I felt someone else told me. This happened to someone else, another person. He's a preacher. I was with Abate that day. I was praying. I just saw the fellow. I saw what he was trying to do. I said, Lord, this is interesting. I just took my phone and said, you are planning to do this. And do the I said, you are going on a trip. And that trip is not final. But that trip is a prerequisite to another trip. The stupid guy went to call another friend. Did you tell him? I said, no. So I called him and said, it shows that the devil is working on you. So because I brought you close to me, you think when I'm talking to you, nobody told me anything. God told me. So you think, and he said, sir, I bought my ticket. I said, I saw it. We have shifted. We are in the flesh. The same voice that will tell you, sit down, and you sit down. He's not saying, please let me see you. Ah, sir, today? Yeah. Same voice you used to hear in your spirit. And you say, today you are going to fast 7. You say, okay, Lord. You now hear it and you say, well, maybe not today. And you know that is what is happening to you. You know God is talking. You know. Because you hear from God. You've sensed it like that before. I was talking to one of my earlier disciples. Was it 2016 or 15? I was talking. She now asked me a question. I said, but what happened? I said, you. I said, this year, if I told you to do something, you do it beyond what I told you. So what happened? I said, well, you got involved in strife. So you started arguing what I'm saying. The truth of the matter is that it's just not about me. I'm sure in your private life you were doing that with the Spirit of God. That's why it shows in the public. So why did you call me? I said, no. I called you the first time, the second time. I just left you. And that's how God will talk to you too. I'm not saying this only based on your pastor talking to you. Don't get it wrong. I'm only using this example. You have a nudge in the spirit. Fast this week. Then they call you. Someone say, you say, we're having office dinner. Every time we're doing the dinner, I think at the law school. I didn't eat. I won't eat. I said, I can't eat. So I said, I'm fasting. Simple. So I said, but you can just take something. You know, oh, that is how you ruin your Christian life. Fast. So let's get disciplined. Is that clear? Don't joke with your prayer chain. Don't joke with prayer group. That culture. Maintain it. Insist on it. Your pastoring must be an overflow of a life you have cultured daily to walk with God. Such that if other people backslide around you, I've had a group of friends. Everybody, this is not a boast, if it is in Christ Jesus. Sir, all of them left the ministry. That was the early stages. We formed a group together. Alright? What do we call ourselves then? This is royal family. We called a group together. That was 30 years ago. And we're going to... Everybody's... They left. I didn't have a temptation to. No, it's just like, no. I couldn't have. Because what I was doing with them was an overflow of my privilege. I was at College Crescent. Okay, I don't know. When I made the commitment, nobody was there. I said, Lord, if it's just me in the world, trust me, I'll preach the gospel. I will not back down one day. Say, Lord, I won't take a leave. I will never be absent from this. And this is over 30 years. About 30 years of that decision. It was my grand aunt's house. I can't recall a day that I've not preached the gospel. If it exists, I can't remember. It's either I'm sharing with somebody, I'm writing something, it's not. So everybody said they are not doing it. I said, no problem. I said, I'll do it alone. Individually, sir, I planted 14 fellowships. We all plan to do it though. But yeah, I did it myself. You build that alone. That's why I've grown in my personal life, to have a personal. No, you are praying, people are seeing you. You are telling you, you are not making a job. That's not it. The inner fortitude, inner strength, you build it away from the crowd. When you show up, you'll know. My brother was telling me years ago, he said, I'm trying to catch you praying and study. He said, I've never done it. He said, but in relation with you, I know you are full of the Holy Spirit. I know you study, but how do you do it? I said, I won't tell you. And really is this. Because when I grew up, my dad and mom, they were against my fervency. So I used to study and pray undercover. That's how I would pray a vigil. And I'll be beside you, you don't know. That's how you do. You build, it's not for the world. So get disciplined. Is that clear? You have a long journey. Anybody like that? Anybody going long journey? Let me see your hand. A long haul? 6 years? 6? 10? 20? To the end. Stand to your feet. To the end. To the end. To the very end. Say that. You know, there are those who end it. There are those who do it to the end. Not to end it. Anybody around you can fall. Anybody. And God is telling you, we started a group. All of us. We were about 8 or 9. Everybody backed out. Everybody. Everyone. When you make a decision. And this is not about parakpo. Because my roommate is not praying, I won't pray. Nonsense. Because my husband is not studying, I won't study. Rubbish. I have my personal walk with God. I do. Because my future partner, fiance, is not doing evangelism, I stop. Omweni. You decided to. Decide. A personal walk with God is required, church. This is you. Feeding on the word. You no longer can count the hours that you pray anymore. You no longer can count the volumes of the word that you soak in. And you're telling yourself, to the end. And this till the end. Two, in the long run. It's not doing gra-gra at the beginning. Gra-gra-gra-gra-gra-gra. But keeping your eyes on the ball and saying, this is forever. No offense will get to your heart. No stupid action, reaction, emotions. No! I'm fixed. David said, my heart is fixed. Trust in the Lord. Lift your hands. Pray.